The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill Radio's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action in Leopardstown. A very good card to look forward to there, with over €2 million in the prize pot. The feature race being the Irish Champion Stakes. And my name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Well, splendid, mate. Splendid. Splendid form.
Good man. Now, we don't normally speak to you on a Saturday, usually because there's so much domestic stuff going on and we don't normally always get the Irish stuff in, but thankfully Leopardstown is a twilight card, and a very, very good twilight card at that, so we thought we'd get you on today, and it's a good card, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very much surprised, yeah, to get the call this morning. Honoured, in fact, to be doing a podcast on a Saturday. Makes a change as well, doesn't it, for me doing midweek cards at Clonmel and Dan Patrick and talking about 0-60 handicaps, and all of a sudden I get a star-studded card like today. So yeah, hopefully I can do it justice.
Hopefully so. Let's get stuck into the action then. The first race this afternoon in Leopardstown is the 3:35, and we start with an EBF Fillies maiden over 7 furlongs, and Bocca Bacciata is the 5-2 market leader this morning, and being backed from 7-2 as well. 11-4 for Wedding Vow. Chinese Light is 7-2. 11-2 for Stella Glow. Tamador is 8s into 6s. 14s for Diamonds and Rubies, and then 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. So the Jessica Harrington filly's been pretty well backed this morning, Andy, at the top of the betting. Bit of money for Tamador as well. What are your thoughts on the 3:35?
Yeah, I think it's quite a good main to start off. Should be informative as well, because My Titania won this race last year. Of course, she's gone up to make a really useful 3-year-old for John Ox. John Ox, incidentally, has got a runner in this as well, Pivotique, so we'll keep an eye on her. But the ones who've got form are the ones I'm going to be interested in here. Notwithstanding, of course, we've got Wedding Vow in the race, who's at Philippe Galileo out of Remember When, so she should be quite useful. But I quite like Bocca Bacciata, as the market suggests. I thought she ran a really nice race on debut in a race which is already beginning to work out well. Could, would, should. Of course, he was in that race for the Andrew Oliver camp, has already won since. And Bocca Bacciata was very strongly backed that day. She was a real springer in the market. I think she was a 20-1 shot in the morning. She went off 8-1 single figures. And she got stuck out on the wing a little bit throughout that race. And as we know at the Curragh, it's quite difficult to win when you go down the outside of the track. Often the far side rail seems to hold sway. And that was very much the case. But she shaped really encouragingly. She kept on well for pressure. And like a lot of Jessica Harrington's horses this season, I think she'll come on significantly for the run, particularly her 2-year-old fillies. Horses like Lola Bow and, of course, Jack Naylor have been plying their trade really well for Jessie this season. So she seems to have got a good batch of females. So I certainly expect her to go very well. And the other one for money is Tamador, and a horse I think will benefit from running on better ground today. I tipped her on the podcast last time out, and she got beat by 50-1 poke of Andrew Oliver's, but I put that down to the ground, really. She travelled really well throughout that race, and like I say, just didn't quite have the capabilities to handle the ground, but much better ground today. And her run first time up, arguably is the best piece of singular form we've got so far on show in this race. Of course, she was second to Legitissimo, who just couldn't quite reel back in Jack Naylor last week in a Group 3 race at the Curragh. So I actually think she's probably the one who's the obvious each way, William Hill of Cutter. So the two horses for money this morning, coincidentally, the two horses I really fancy here. So Bocca Bacciata and Tamador, two horses experience, hopefully make their experience count in the first.
Okay, that's the 3:35. Then on to the 4:05 next, and this is the first group action in Leopardstown this afternoon. It's the Group 3 Juvenile Turf Stakes over a mile, and John F. Kennedy is the 2-5 favourite this morning. Tomberlain is 5-1 into 9-2, 8-1 out to 10s for Bertie LaBelge. East India 14-1, 20-1 for Faithful Creek, 28-1 for Vocalizer, and Aprobear is 100-1 the outsider of the field. John F. Kennedy had a pretty big reputation before he even stepped onto a racecourse, and he didn't win on his debut. He had to play second fiddle to a Hall of Fame on that occasion, but hacked up at the Curragh last time, and he's going the right way. Do you see him winning this?
I do, yeah. Whether I want to take 2-5 to find out is another matter. But he certainly was impressive second time up. First time up, when he was all the rage and touted as being a Derby horse, he rather let his supporters down in a little way. But, yeah, made amends next time out at the Curragh when he strode clear in the latter stages to win impressively by 4 3/4 lengths. Let's be honest, he didn't beat a great field that day. Nothing in behind has come out and subsequently won, albeit one or two have run quite well. But John F. Kennedy is just one of those slow burners that gradually improves out of all recognition, and very similar to his stable companion, Glen Eagles, who's very much going the right way. I think his Derby credentials are going to be put on the line here. The track should suit him fine. Obviously, we know he likes the ground. So, yeah, he's not my kind of bet, but I do think he'll win at the main expense, probably off Tomberlane, who ties in quite nicely with two horses who won subsequently. Of course, the aforementioned Glen Eagles, who's won next time at the Curragh. Of course, Convergence, who led the colours of East India down in Tipperary in a listed race in quite a fast time. That was a bit of a whirlwind finish, but at least his horse has handled the track twice. So if the wheels come off the favourite, he's the most likely beneficiary. But, you know, perhaps he's the answer, really, without the favourite. Obviously, there are markets without John F. Kennedy. And if he's around sort of like the 5-4 even money mark to be second to the favourite, I think that's probably the route I'd go.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, keep an eye out for the Betting Without Markets on the website this afternoon. Then the 4:40 is the third race on the card, and this is the Patingo Handicap, which is a premier handicap over 1 3/4, and it's wide open, as the betting suggests this morning. 6-1 for Silwana, who is the market leader. Degenta is 13-2, and that's been back from 9-1. 7-1 for Toe the Line, also being supported from 9s. Bayan is 15-2. 8-1 for Blue Hussar and Winter Lion. 9-1 for Castles Rock. Spacious Sky is 10s with Pyromaniac, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. Tricky this, Andy. I mean, there's plenty in here with chances. Wide open, so I'll just hand over to you for the 4:40.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. Probably the hardest race on the card, if you ask me. Lots with credentials coming here in good form. The likes of Bayan, Degenta, Silwana, Winter Lion, Castles Rock. You know, they're all difficult to split, really, because they've all got plenty of upside. At least if you're back in Bayan, you know that you've got a horse who goes well at the track, as he proved when he beat Stockton's Wing here the last time he set foot in a race card at Leopardstown. And, of course, he's run behind Thomas Edison. The Galway Hurdle was of a very high standard. That Galway Hurdle this year was a really competitive race, as it always is, but it was a strongly run one, and the form's worked out really well. There's been three subsequent winners out of it so far. He probably could have done with the ground being on the slightly softer side, if you're being picky. And with that in mind, I'll probably look elsewhere. I'm going to take a little bit of a flyer here and go with Blue Hussar. If there's one horse with still plenty of potential and aspirations perhaps to be slightly better than a handicapper, it's this colt by Monju. He was a spectacular winner first time up here last year at Leopardstown. That was on November the 3rd, when he came from another postcode to end up running down quite a good field in the style of a good horse. So not surprising that I know Brian over the winter probably had aspirations of this horse making up into a Derby individual. And that certainly seemed to be the case as he pitched him into the Lingfield Derby trial, only for him to run a bit of a sluggish race throughout that contest and being never near a fourth behind Snow Sky. He was then a warmish order at the Curragh on his next start, and he finished last of five behind stable companion Adelaide. So there's something clearly not quite right about this horse. Has been ailing him since then. Hayden O'Brien stripped him down, broke him into pieces, and probably stuck him back together again. And he might just be one of those horses that comes good in the autumn. Certainly that was the way last year, obviously. You know, he never set foot on a racetrack until November. So he's probably just been a slow burner that's taken a while to come to hand. And there's been a little bit of money for him this morning, which definitely encourages me. He's got a nice low draw. We know he goes at the track. So Blue Hussar, he's just a little bit of an intuitive selection for me here in the 4:40.
Okay, Blue Hussar then in the 4:40. On to the 5:15 next, and this is the Group 3 Enterprise Stakes, which is a race over 1 1/4, and an interesting one at the top of the betting here. Free Eagle is the 10-11 market leader. 5-1 for Hall of Mirrors, 11-2 for Brendan Bracken, 6-1 for Prince of All, Chance to Dance is 12s, and then 22-1 or bigger prices the rest. We finally get to see Free Eagle again, Andy. He was one time Antipost favourite for the Epsom Derby. We haven't seen him since this card last year when he finished run up to Australia in the John Deere Juvenile Stakes. If he's fitting well after a year off the course, do you see him as the one to beat here?
Wow, that's a $64,000 question, isn't it? What kind of state is he in, as it were? What kind of preparations he had? Been off the track for almost a year. You've certainly got to take it on trust that Dermot Weld has got him back to somewhere near his best. Obviously, Dermot Weld is one of the best trainers in the world. So if anyone can do it, he can. And of course, you know, he chased down Australia last year, the last time we saw him. So, you know, he was up against it that particular day. He was hugely impressive the time before in his debut when he spread-eagled his field, beat a good field as well, which contained, obviously, Orchestra, who's gone on to win group races this season by 5.5 lengths, no less. So very much he's eagerly awaited. You know, he's a class act, or potentially very much a class act, but he just doesn't make any kind of appeal for me from a betting perspective. I hate backing horses like this at a short price. I just think you take it on the chin as a punter if they go and win. You know, even money's not going to change your life if this horse ever, if goes and wins. Whereas you get some really good value for him not quite being cherry ripe first time out and perhaps looking for something from an each way perspective. And the two that stand out for me here, Brendan Bracken's one of them. He hardly ever puts a foot wrong in any races he runs in. And Joe Lange's charge is just an absolute dream to back each way. He's always there or thereabouts. He loves it here at Leopardstown. He's run most of his best races here. He goes on any ground. He ran well here last time out, over a mile behind Custom Cut. Obviously, he's got to prove that he stays a mile and a quarter, but I think he definitely threatens to do that. So he's a major player. And the other one is Chance to Dance. What an amazing turnaround in fortunes this horse has endured from the start of the season when he got beaten and maiden over 6 furlongs at the Curragh. He's then gone all the way through the year, hardly unbeaten, hardly putting a foot wrong. He's won 4 times. Arguably, he's just probably just needed a break, and that was very much the case last time out. He just didn't run with any great sparkle here over the track. More importantly, he didn't stay the trip either behind Eye of the Storm in a strongly run race. But he's got some very good times to his name. He loves it here at Leopardstown. I think 14-1 for Chance to Dance is an absolute insult. So I'd make him my number one choice here, back at the scene of some of his best victories this season. Chance to Dance each way, I would have whopping 14-1 in the 5:15.
Okay, Chance to Dance each way then. In the 5:15, on to the 5:45 next. And this is the first Group 1 of the evening in Leopardstown. And this is the Matron Stakes, which is for fillies and mares. It's over a mile. And Tapestry is the favourite this morning at 9-4. Rosina is 5-2. 6-1 for Fizalana. 7-1 for Ken Hope. And then 16-1 in double figure prices for the other runners here. So only four of them in single figure prices here, Andy. So do you think the top end of the market is right here?
I think so, yeah. I don't really see any great each-way value with some of the ones lurking down the bottom here. The two class acts, the two genuine Group 1 fillies, are Tapestry and Rosina. The difference between them is that Rosina is a genuine Group 1 filly over a mile, and that's what we're faced with here today at Leopardstown. Obviously, it's a stiff mile, but at the same time, you need to be tactically versatile around this track because I think they're racing around the inside track today, so you need to have a good deal of pace. And I think that might be the key component here because Tapestry, for all her qualities, she's better over a mile and a half for me. Obviously, runner-up in the Irish Oaks, but she's staying them very strongly. And then she out-battled Tegruda in the Irish Oaks last time we saw her. Genuine Group 1 horse, but mile and a half form is definitely, you know, important to point out here. And Rosina might just do it for a turn of foot here. Of course, winner of the Coronation Stakes when Tapestry was 6. She then got beat at Newmarket, but Grand might have been a bit too soft for that day behind Integral. Similar comments apply when she was third to the Mighty Kingman in the Jacques de Mauro last time we saw her at Deauville. But she's got her conditions today, fast ground, a mile, a likely strongly run race. I say likely because, you know, we're not sure what the sort of tactics are here, but I imagine Palace will go off in front at a good gallop. So hopefully Rosina will show her class today. She's got a good draw, and of course Ryan Moore's gone over to Ireland to ride her. So I'm going to go with Clive Britton's filly in the Matron Stakes.
Okay, Rosina then in the Matron Stakes. The 6:15 is race 6 on the card, and this is the Boomerang Mile, which is Group 2 over a mile, and Mustajib is the favourite this morning and has been backed from 2-1 into 13-8. Golden Lord Byron going the other way, 3-1 out to 7-2. Darwin is 4-1, 7-1 for Bow Creek, 10-1 for Top Notch Tonto, 12-1 for Parish Hall, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the other two runners. Mustajib's quite interesting, and he's won 2 of his 3 starts this season, including the Jersey at Royal Ascot last time. His only defeat came behind Kingman in the Irish 2000 Guineas, which isn't bad form, is it? Do you see him as the one that sets the standard?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. He goes back to the scene of his one of his best victories early on in the year, of course, when he won a Group 3 in splendid fashion when he beat the older horses. He beat Brendan Bracken and many others who'd got good credentials on that day. Obviously third behind Kingman in the Irish 2000, and then he won the Jersey Stakes, beating a very good field in a fast time. Mawari, of course, was also strongly fancied on the day in the same colours, who finished second. He just holds all the aces here, particularly over the trip and on a track where he's run well before. Obviously, Gordon Lord Barringer, the class act in the lineup. He's won three Group 1s along the way, but most of his best performances have come over distances shorter than today. The fact that he ran in the Haydock Park sprint last time out tells you that, really. And he will do well to sort of bounce back from that lung-bursting effort last week behind G-Force. Only a week later, he's taken on much fresher horses who were better over a mile. He won this race last year, winning a different name, but you know, he scraped home on that occasion. You know, he only beats horses like Litter Moore. So I think Gordon Lord Barringer is going to be worth taking on here. I think Bow Creek is the other one that I'd like to mention favourably. He's been in good form this season, and given tactics like he employed last time out when he was off the front, he can be a very, very dangerous opponent. Don't forget Captain Cat, who was third in that race, has won subsequently. And if Joe Fanning gets to dictate it from the front here, he could easily slip the field and drawn in stall one, ran a track which suits front runners. If Muster Jeb's going to come unstuck, it might well be Bow Creek, and he can be back to 8-9-1 this morning. So I'd probably play Muster Jeb here, but I'd also have a little bit of a saver on Bow Creek just in case he gets first run on the favourite.
Okay, on to the 6:50 next, the big race of the evening in Leopardstown, and this is the Irish Champion Stakes, a Group 1 over a mile and a quarter. Good lineup as well this year, headed by Australia, who's 1-3. The Grey Gatsby is 6-1, 12-1 for Al-Kazim and Macadram. Trading Leather is 16-1, and then it's 100-1 for the other two, Alcasser and Kingfisher, who are in there to set the pace, really. Australia 1-3, Andy, looks pretty much impossible to oppose. So how do you play the Irish Champion Stakes?
Yeah, I'll probably bet without the favourite here. I mean, we're all expecting Australia to perhaps win again, win of the Derby, the Irish equivalent. And of course, last time out at York as well, that Group 1 went the way of Aidan O'Brien's charging. One of his best ever performances when he beat a stellar field. The likes of Grey Gatsby got great form at York. Telescope, who was second in the King George. Macadram had won the Eclipse. Basically, all the best horses over that trip were there, and he slammed them pretty impressively. This really cements his greatness, if you like, perhaps before going off to stud. Whether you want to back him at 3-1 on, it's just basically down to own personal choice. Me, personally, they're not really my kind of bets, and I'd much prefer to look elsewhere, trying to dig a bit of value out of the race. And I think the Grey Gatsby's a nice horse, but away from York, his beloved York, he's probably not quite as good. And with that in mind, I'm looking at Al-Kazim and Macadram, the two older horses, perhaps to fill the frame or finish second to the favourite. Al-Kazim, of course, was second in the race last year, so we know he handles Leopardstown when he was runner-up to the Fugue. And his subsequent stub duties obviously haven't come off, but since he's come back, he's gradually improved. And I was really impressed by the way he battled them to beat True Story the other day down in Windsor in a fast time. That was a really good gallop that day, and the pair of them pulled well clear. And the time of that race puts him actually not too far behind Australia and the likes of Macadram. And Macadram himself was probably feeling the ill effects of that bruising contest in the King George when he was only fourth on the Knavesmire. Whether the season is slightly catching up with Macadram, I don't know, but he's got some good numbers next to his name. So it's a toss of the coin, really, for me, whether we go with Al-Kazim and Macadram to chase the favourite home or bet without the favourite. And I'll probably go with the fresher Al-Kazim. I really like the way he won at Windsor, and he just looks as though he's somewhere near his best. So he'll do for me without the favourite.
Okay, Al-Kazim without the favourite then in the big race of the evening, the Irish Champion Stakes. And we finish the card with the 7:20, and we finish with a big Premier Handicap, the Sovereign Path Handicap, over 7 furlongs, and a nice easy finish to the card here. Andy, Stay the Night and Dalkova, the 6-1 joint favourites this morning, but the money has come for Dalkova, who's 7s into 6s. René Mattis is 7-1, 10-1 for Burn the Boats. Burrowies is 11s, Irish Cambridgeshire winner Strator is 11-1 as well, 12-1 for Piri Wango and Pit Stop, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. Who do you fancy in a tricky getting out stakes then, Andy?
Yeah, similar to the 4-4-2, this one's a bit of a head scratcher for punters, and there's sure to be no hiding place here. There's three confirmed front runners on my reckoning. Dalkova, of course, is one of them. Moran Mandolva is also a front runner. We've got Al Margo as a front runner. So, you know, they're going to be really trapping from an early position. I just definitely think you need to be in the right place to strike here. And there's two that strike me as being well-served to strongly run races and coming off back of fast paces, and that's René Mattis from the all-conquering Richard Fahey stable. His figures really stuck up well this season. He's run well at York. He won at Newmarket. And then he was an unlucky second beyond Amargo when that horse got first run in him at Goodwood. He seems to stay 7 furlongs well. He's got a load run. Richard Fahey's gone out of his way to book one of the best Irish jockeys, Fran Berry. And I couldn't not mention Shritor in this race, the beloved Shritor. What a mare she's been this season. She's been there or thereabouts for podcasters throughout the whole season long, and we finally got her just rewards with keeping the faith with her when she won the Irish Cambridgeshire. In scintillating fashion as well, in a fast time, they went a real good gallop that day, as they often do in those Premier Handicaps, and Shritor really quickened up well for Wayne Lawton to win, I thought, actually quite comfortably in the end. She's got a devastating turn of foot at the end of her race, and we can get again back her each way at a big price. I mean, it's because of her unfashionable nature that I think punters and bookmakers just seem to overlook her time and time and time again. But, you know, look at her credentials. She's never been out the first four in the last eight starts. So I really like Shritor. I think she's a horse that we can continue to follow each way. And she's gone well here at the track before. So Shritor is definitely the number one each way vote. But Rennie Mathis is definitely worth a few quid as well.
Okay, couple against the field there then. In the lucky last, let's just have a quick summary of your selections, Andy, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, probably the best card of the afternoon is at Leopardstown, despite their St. Ledger course at Doncaster taking place. First race, I think the form will hold up between Boca Bacchiata and Tamador. They've raced in the best fillies contest so far, so I'd expect one of those two to win. John F. Kennedy should provide Aidan O'Brien with maybe his first win of the day in the John Deere Juvenile. In the 4.40, a real trappy handicap there for punters. I'll take a little bit of a punt that Blue Hussar comes back to his autumn form last year. Chance to Dance is a massive each-way price in the 5.15. He's been freshened up since his last run and he loves the track. So despite Free Eagle being in the lineup, I think he makes the most appeal. In the 5.45, I think pace might be the key there. And Rosina has certainly got plenty of that. She might have just too much foot for a main market rival, Tapestry. In the 6.15... All roads lead to Mustajib here, but I do think Bow Creek is worth an interest at a price. Australia should take the Irish Champion Stakes on his way to stud, but I do think Al Kazim is worth backing without the favourite. And in the final race, let's stay loyal to our friend down the bottom. Good old Shritor. She's a real gallant mare, and hopefully she'll run a race again in the final race.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Should be a fantastic evening in Leopardstown. Good luck with your selections, and enjoy it tonight.
I will do. Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.